بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 40 in our series on the commentary upon أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi رحمه الله. And in the previous lesson, we concluded our discussion of belief in the angels. What is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah based upon the Quran and the Sunnah with respect to angels? And then we started looking at the Quran or the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we looked at one or two questions. So today we are on question number 79, and we read through the question and the answer. The question was, what is the meaning of having belief, having faith in the books of Allah Azza wa Jal? So the Shaykh, he explained the summarized belief, the essence of which is that we have firm, resolute belief that all of these books were sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah actually spoke these books. I mean, he spoke the words of these books, and that these books were revealed in different ways. From them are those that were heard from Allah by way of a medium, an angel. From them are those that Allah inspired by way of wahi to a prophet or messenger. From them are those that Allah spoke directly, as he spoke with Musa alayhi salam directly. And so these are the different ways, and from them are those that Allah wrote, such as the tablets given to Musa alayhi salam. So these are different ways by which Allah speaks and his speech is conveyed to the messenger. And from those books that the Shaykh mentioned by way of ayat is the Torah of Musa alayhi salam, the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, the Zabur of Dawood alayhi salam, the Suhuf, the scrolls of Musa alayhi salam, and likewise the Suhuf of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then of course there is the Quran, which he revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he mentioned ayat from the Quran to establish all of these points. So we read that question and answer in the previous lesson. So today we'll go through some of the commentary. So the first commentary is from Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah. And so explaining, he says, Al-Imanu bi kutubillahi azza wa jal allati anzalaha ala rusulihi labudda an yakuna fi haqqi ar-rusul al-awwalin wal-kutub al-awla qabla al-Qur'an. He says, obviously, when we speak about this issue of belief in the books of Allah, which Allah revealed upon his messengers, then first and foremost, the previous books which have come to the previous messengers, belief in them obviously comes first before the Qur'an, because they preceded the Qur'an. And in relation to those books, our belief regarding them is a generalized belief. So for example, he says, we believe in the Zabur of Dawood, we believe in the Suhuf, the scrolls of Musa, the scrolls of Ibrahim, and likewise what Allah gave to Adam. Allah gave to Adam, and like on who those who came after him, such as Nuh and Hud and Salih and others. So all of them had a book revealed to them. So we have to believe in all of these books in a very general sense, not in a detailed sense, because we do not have detailed knowledge about those books. But as for our book, the Quran, then we have a detailed belief and a detailed belief in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, whatever has been mentioned in our book, in the Quran, which cites from the previous books. Right? So in the Quran, for example, there is mention of certain things from the Torah that was revealed upon Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel. Some of them are mentioned very specifically. For example, that whoever takes a life, it's as if he's taken the whole of mankind, whoever saves a life, things like that, and some of the rulings. So whatever is mentioned by way of citation from the previous books, then we believe in them. We have to obviously believe in that. And we find there's mention of something from the Torah and the Injil. So these affairs, whether they are reports or whether they are rulings, you know, we believe that that's what Allah revealed in those books. Likewise, we have to believe in those affairs, obviously, which have been mentioned in detail. But as for those things which have, meaning that which has come in the Quran about previous scriptures, but as for that which has come and is not mentioned in our book, then we believe in that in a very general sense, right? So we believe there were books that came before, some of whose names we have been given. We believe in a general sense what was in those books, obviously of tawheed, admonition, reminders, and then there would have been laws as well. So we believe in that in a general sense. But as for a detailed sense, that is for the Quran, with the meaning that everything that has come in the Quran of reports, commands, prohibitions, then we must believe that specifically and in a detailed sense. The Shaykh goes on to give an example. He says, for example, whatever has come in our Sharia, someone might not know all the details. So someone who becomes a Muslim and he says, La ilaha illallah. So he believes in Allah's uluhiyyah, Allah's right to be worshipped. He believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he believes in the necessities of religion, which are known by necessity, that there are five prayers which are obligatory, that the zakah is obligatory, that fasting is obligatory, that hajj is obligatory for the one who has the means, and it is obligatory to be righteous to the parents, and whatever is similar. These are the very clear, well-known affairs, and a person, you know, would know that. And likewise, the prohibitions, we believe that zina is haram, and shameful deeds are haram, and riba is haram, usury is haram, al-khamar, intoxicants are haram, and other things. All of these are things that a person would know, and he has to believe in these prohibitions specifically and in the obligations specifically. However, and there are other things the Shaykh mentions as well, like consuming the wealth of orphans unlawfully, accusing women of that which they are free of, and falling into magic, doing magic. All these things are clear. However, there might be some other minute details, issues which no one would really know except the scholars of the Muslims. They would know them in a detailed sense because they are minute and relate to very specific particulars. So those kind of things, a person, obviously, if he's not aware of them, then obviously he's not going to know them to have belief in them. But as and when they come to him and he becomes aware, then he must have belief in that. The Shaykh mentions the ayah, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above everyone who possesses knowledge, there is another one who is more knowledgeable. And the Shaykh says that therefore a person who is ignorant of these affairs, it will not harm him, will not harm his faith, because he was unable, he maybe does not have the means to know those things. So this is the commentary of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah. And as for, we have commentary from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. And he says that belief in the books of Allah, this is the third pillar of Iman. And these books that Allah Azawajal revealed upon his messengers, and there is no messenger except that Allah revealed upon him a book. Right? So every messenger had a book. And so he mentions that a verse as the proof, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانِ. That we sent our messengers with clear evidences, And we sent down with them the book and the balance. The book and the balance, the scales. Meaning the scales of justice. And likewise, he said, كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه. That mankind was a single nation. Then Allah sent فبعث الله النبيين prophets as those who give good tidings and those who warn. And he revealed with them the book in truth so that he may judge between people in that in which they have differed. So these ayat clearly establish that every messenger, he was given something of the book, meaning of revelation. And as the Shaykh says, فَمَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مَعَهُ كِتَابًا يَحْتَذِي بِهِ النَّاسِ. There was no messenger except that Allah sent with him a book by which the people guide themselves. So how do we believe in the books then? So we know the obligation to believe in all of the books of Allah. What is the specific way in which we believe in these books? The Shaykh explains. First of all, we believe in anything in which Allah has mentioned the name. So if Allah has taught us the name of a book, then we must believe in that book with its name. And so this is clear. The Quran, Allah mentions the Quran specifically. A Torah is mentioned specifically, the Injil, the Gospel of Isa alayhi salam is mentioned specifically, the Zabur and the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa. So the clear ayat which mention these books. And that whose name that we do not know, then we believe in it in a general sense, and that's on the basis that Allah would not leave people to go to waste without any guidance, and by necessity he would send them books by way of the messenger he sent to them in order to explain the truth. So this is belief in the books in general. And as for accepting the reports, whatever reports have come in those books, meaning reports as in information, because in the book There is akhbar, which are reports, and there are ahkam, there are rulings. So as for any reports that come in these books, we accept everything that came in these books, but we don't accept every report which is in these books today. Right? So we, in other words, when we speak, say we speak to a Christian, for example, or a Jew, for example, or we say, look, we believe in every bit of information or news that came in the Torah, that came in the Injil of Isa al-Islam and Musa al-Islam, we believe in that. But that doesn't mean we believe everything that is in what you have in your hands right now. Right? But we believe in everything that came to Musa of any akhbar al-Islam, or Isa al-Islam of any akhbar, of any reports that were in the Torah and the Injil. And So we speak in a, as the Shaykh says, إِنَّنَا نُؤْمِنُ بِكُلِّ خَبَرٍ جَاءَ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ أَوْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ أَوْ فِي الزَّبُورِ أَوْ فِي صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Like, we speak like this, that we believe in every khabar that came in these prior books. Without that meaning, that when you come to us and start quoting from the gospel of this and gospel of that and the book of this and the book of that, it doesn't mean that we are accepting that specific report, because we don't know whether that report is in the, you know, what was revealed to Musa ibn Islam. Because why? It has been, you know, the pens have been active and they've added and written and taken away and so on and so forth. So we speak about it in a general sense. So every report in the Torah, in the Injil, in the Zabur, we believe in those reports that came down to those prophets and messengers. Now in the Quran there are actually specific examples. So, an example the Shaykh gives, in the Suhuf of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there are some teachings which are quoted specifically. And they are, the Shaykh mentions, لا تزر وزرة وزر أخرى وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى. Right, this is mentioned in Allah mentions it in the Quran. He says, "Am lam yunabba bima fi suhufi Musa wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa alla taziru waziratun wizra ukhra wa allaysa lil insani illa ma sa'a wa anna sa'yahu sawfa yura thumma yujzahu al-jazaa al-awfa." So here Allah says, have they not been informed of that which has come in the scrolls of Musa and Ibrahim, the one who fulfilled, who was truthful and fulfilled his, you know, trust? That, and what is the teaching? That no bearer of burdens will bear the burden of another. And that man will only have that which he strives, that for which he strives. And that his striving will soon be seen. And then he will be given the reward, the ample, you know, the ample reward. So this citation, these four verses, this was what was actually in the Suhuf of Ibrahim alayhi salam that have been preserved or confirmed in the Quran. And likewise, another example from the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa is what occurs in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي السُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. Right, so this is, Allah Azza wa Jal says that rather you give preference to the life of the world, and the hereafter is better and long and more lasting. Indeed, this is in the Suhuf, the very first scrolls, the scrolls of Ibrahim and Musa. So again, this is now a direct quotation from what was in the scrolls of Musa and Ibrahim, alayhi salam. So anything there is that we know to be authentic from these books, then it is obligatory to believe in that khabar, with that khabar. And this is in relation to akhbar. So how do we know that? Obviously here in these examples, Allah Azza wa Jal has directly mentioned that which He revealed to previous messengers. That's a confirmation to us. So we believe in that specifically. As for anything else, then obviously we don't have specific knowledge that all of it is from what Allah revealed. But we have belief in a general, in a general sense. We just speak with the general statement that we mentioned earlier on, that we say, for example, if someone comes to us and you know, a Yahudi, and we say, well, yes, we know that in the scrolls of Moses, such and such was mentioned, that a man will only have that which he strives for. In the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and in the case of the other one, that the life of the hereafter is better and more lasting. So we believe in that. But as for everything else, we just say in a general sense that whatever Allah mentioned of reports, that we believe in them in principle, in general, but we can't commit and confirm to every single report. That's in relation to akhbar, right? This is like reports. As for the ahkam, which are the rulings that came in previous scriptures, the Sheikh says, أَمَّا بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِلْأَحْكَامِ يعني ما 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 في الكتب في الكتب المنزلة من الأحكام فيه تفصيل. Right, so in this issue now there is some detail to be mentioned. So whatever is in the Quran, then obviously we worship Allah by way of those rulings. So what's in our book, the Quran, we worship Allah through that. Why? Because this is Allah's last and final revelation, guidance to all of mankind. Within it are laws dealing with the worship, ibadat, and mu'amalat in dealings, and so on and so forth. As for what is in the previous books, then we look at those books and see, like we look at the rulings, and we see, is that ruling, does it oppose our sharia? If it opposes our sharia, then obviously we do not act upon it, if it's in opposition to our sharia. Why? Because that is batil, it opposes the truth. Sorry, my mistake. We do not act upon it, not because it is batil, but it was only a law that was suitable for its time. Right? Why? Because in different legislations, in different times and places, there were certain laws that were given for that time period which were suited to those people, to that time, to that situation. And so therefore, not every law that we find in the previous books, it doesn't mean that it is batil, it is false automatically, just because it's in the previous books that were changed but it just means that that law was only the law in that particular time. And we are not bound to act upon that law. Why? Because it has been abrogated by our law. So any and all laws that were genuine, that were actually in the Torah, in the Injil, in, you know, whatever, and even though they, you know, they are true, doesn't mean that they are false, they are batil, but they have been abrogated by our Sharia. Why? Because they are different to our Sharia. And if that law agrees with our Sharia, so in those prior books there is a law that actually is the same as our law, then we can act upon that. Why? Because our Sharia has affirmed it and has affirmed its legislation. And then the third situation is that there are laws which are neither against our Sharia nor are they in agreement with our Sharia. Right? So basically, there's three categories. Or there's four categories. There's our Quran, the final revelation. Then there are the previous scriptures. And in the previous scriptures, they are of three categories. The first is that which opposes our Sharia. The ruling. That ruling opposes our Sharia. It doesn't mean that that ruling is false, but it just means that it was suited for a particular time and our legislation has now abrogated it. The second is that there's a law in those scriptures that actually is the same and agrees with our Sharia. And so in that case, we act upon it. We can act upon it. And the third one is where there are laws that are neither in agreement nor are they in opposition. So, what is the position in relation to this third category? Are we bound? Are we obliged to act upon these laws which are not in our Sharia, but they are in a previous Sharia and they don't conflict with our Sharia? And the Sheikh mentions that the scholars have actually differed upon this, and that which he considers to be the most correct view is that we do act upon it. And he mentions some evidence from the Quran, because Allah Azza wa Jal says in one of the chapters, Surah Al-An'am, I believe, when he mentions the names of many of the prophets, maybe 18 or so prophets, and he says after that, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ حَضَ اللَّهِ, they are the ones whom Allah has guided, فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ, so by their guidance, guide yourself. Right, so this now is a command to be guided by the guidance given to all of those named prophets and messengers. So this therefore would be a proof used by those scholars who say that in relation to those affairs or those rulings that exist in previous legislations and they don't conflict with our legislation, then, you know, we should act upon them. So now, the Shaykh gives an example for each of these three categories, so we can have a clear understanding of what is meant. So, an example of what opposes our Sharia. So, an example of that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا, upon those who are Jews, حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي ظُفْرٍ, we made unlawful for them everything which has an uncloven hoof. An uncloven hoof, what does that mean? Basically that means anything which doesn't have, like, you know, the hoof, the foot, it doesn't have distinguishable, like, fingers or toes, right? But it's just a hoof, right? So any animal which is like that would be what was made prohibited upon them. And likewise, وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ وَالْغَنَمِ حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا إِلَّا مَا حَمَلَتْ ظُهُورُهُمَا أو الحوايا أو ما اختلط بعذم. And likewise for the cattle, and likewise the غنم, the sheep, we prohibited upon them the fat. So whatever was the fat of these animals, we prohibited all the fat of those animals, except anything that was on their back, or that was in around the entrails, that like clothed the entrails, or which is clothed around the bones. Apart from those three types of fat, all other fat in animal was actually prohibited to them. And the reason for that was ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ, meaning Allah prohibited that upon them because they transgressed and they disobeyed. So Allah made unlawful those things upon them as a punishment. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ, and indeed we are truthful. So the Sheikh says that the Yahud, Allah prohibited upon them like everything that has an uncloven hoof. An example of that would be the camel, right? So the camel, when you look at the feet, the hoof is uncloven, meaning that it doesn't have like the separated toes and fingers. And anything which is like this, anything which is similar to that, then it would, you know, it was forbidden upon them. And likewise from the cows, the cattle and the sheep, their fat was prohibited except from certain places. And now in our Sharia, now that law opposes our law, because we are permitted the meat of the camel, for example, and we are allowed to have the fat of the cattle and the sheep. It's not prohibited in our Shia. So this now is a conflict. So that means that law is abrogated. It is, you know, invalidated, and we must not, we cannot act upon that law. That's the first category. Second category, which is what agrees with our Sharia, and there are many, many examples of that. Some of the clear ones: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you, in order that you may attain piety. So fasting was in the legislation of previous legislations, and fasting is in our legislation. Likewise, what was mentioned earlier on in the scrolls of Musa and Ibrahim alayhi salam, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَى أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Right, that a man will, no soul, no person can be burdened, no bearer of burdens can be burdened with the burden of another. Meaning a person is not responsible for the deeds of any other person, for his crimes, for his sins, and that man will only have whatever he strove for. Right, and that is also in our Sharia. The Quran affirmed that is also in our Sharia. Now, as for the third example of where our Sharia does not oppose a law or a teaching in a previous law, then the example Sheikh gives is when we use a like an indicator or a pointer in a ruling, for example, and he illustrates with an example. Two women came to Sulaiman alayhi salam, and they were disputing, and they both claimed that a child was theirs. So he called for a knife, and his ruling was, if you're disputing about the child, then let us cut it in half, and you can take half each. So one of them agreed and the other one did not agree. In fact, she said, leave it, it's hers, let her keep it. So what Sulaiman alayhi salam, what he did is that he judged in favor of the one who did, you know, who withheld, meaning she didn't want the baby to be cut, and she let the other woman have it. He ruled in her favor because that would be the natural instinct of a mother. If it's her child, then she would want the child to live naturally. So from that response is taken as a qarina. A qarina meaning like a pointer, something which is evidence that points to a thing. And so, in other words, in that Sharia, Sulaiman alayhi salam, in making the judgment, was allowed, you know, was allowed to make use of some additional pointers, like to do what he did, in order to come to the actual ruling. But in our Sharia, there isn't this, such a thing hasn't come. Like, this specific thing hasn't come where a judge can do something like this, and, you know, in order to investigate or to find who's, there isn't anything specifically mentioned like that in our Sharia. But in principle, that doesn't oppose our Sharia. And therefore, someone who is a judge, a qadi, a scholar, he may resort to something like that on the basis that there exists a precedence in a previous Sharia, which does not actually oppose our Sharia in principle. So this would allow someone to, like in this specific example, to do something like this, right? And he is following a Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the previous legislations, which doesn't oppose our Sharia. Right, so that's an example the Sheikh gave to explain the third category. So that's a nice explanation from Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, explaining where we stand in relation to previous scriptures in terms of the akhbar, in terms of the reports, and in terms of the ahkam, in terms of the rulings. So as it relates to the reports, we say that anything specific mentioned in our Quran, a specific report that Allah confirms in previous scriptures, we believe in that specifically. As for everything else, we say that we believe in all the reports that came in what was revealed to Musa alayhi salam, to Ibrahim alayhi salam, in all the previous books, and we say that in a general sense, without implying that we believe in everything that is in their hands right now, in the books they have in their hands right now. And as for the ahkam, the rulings, we just explained that they fall into three categories, and you know, Sheikh explained each of those categories. The next question is question number 80. And in this question, the Sheikh says, ما منزلة القرآن من الكتب المتقدمة؟ What is the position of the Quran towards previous books? How does the Quran speak about previous books? The Sheikh says, قال الله تعالى فيه, Allah the Exalted, he said, وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومحيمنا عليه. That we sent down upon you the book in truth. It confirms that came before it of the book, and is a safeguard over it, or is a trustworthy witness over it. محيمنا عليه. Like, in other words, this is explaining what is the relationship of the Quran to previous books. He also says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا كَانَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ أَن يُفْتَرَى مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِن تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This Quran is not something that can be fabricated by, you know, that can be fabricated by others besides Allah. But it is an affirmation or a confirmation of that which came before it, and an explanation of the book, of the scripture. And there is no doubt about it. It is from the Lord of the worlds. And likewise, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, in another ayah, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِن تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. This is not a speech that is fabricated, but it is confirmation of that which came before it, and an elaboration or a detailed elaboration of everything, and guidance and mercy for a people who believe. So if we reflect, the Sheikh wasn't to explain on the basis of these ayat, he says, قَالَ أَهْلُ التَّفْسِيرِ, the people of tafsir, they said, مُحَيْمِنًا. Muhayminan. Allah described the Quran as muhayminan, meaning mu'tamanan wa shahidan على ما قبله من الكتاب من الكتب ومصدقا لها. So that the Quran is muhaymin, meaning that it is like a safeguard, which is like a witness over what is true and what is not true in relation to previous books. The Quran is our witness and our safeguard and our criterion, which enables us to see what is right and what is wrong in the scripture, in the scripture that you know that the people claim to have the previous scripture. And likewise, مُصَدِّقًا لَهَا, that it is an affirmation of what is in the, it's a confirmation of what is in the previous books and the teachings of the previous books. And, you know, whatever is correct in those books, the Quran treats it as being correct and affirms it. And whatever is not so, there's tahreef, there's distortion, there's tabdeel, there's alteration, there's taghir, there's change, then Allah will negate that and will judge that it is abrogated. Either that, or it will affirm that such and such is, you know, was in those previous books. So, in other words, everyone who holds on to a previous book, he is obligated to submit to the Quran. Right? So, in other words, every Yahudi, every Nasrani, the people of the book, they are obligated to submit to the Quran because the Quran is muhaymanan and musaddiqan naha. Right? It affirms the truth that was in those books, and it is like a quality control, so to speak, that it will tell you this is right, this is wrong, this is affirmed, this is negated. Right? It's a witness, a trustworthy witness over previous books. Which effect, what does that mean? Effectively means is that every Yahudi who has in his hands the Torah, every Nasrani who has in his hands the Injil, they have to drop those books and they have to believe in the Quran, because the Quran is confirming all the truth that Isa alayhi salam came with, all the truth that Musa alayhi salam came with, and negating all that the Yahud and the Nasara, that they altered of the religion of Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. The Shaykhun goes on to say, so those people, you know, who don't turn their backs upon disbelief, you know, they're obligated to believe and submit to the Quran. And then he mentions the ayah, كما قال تبارك وتعالى الذين آتينهم الكتاب من قبله هم به يؤمنون وإذا يتلى عليهم قالوا آمنا به إنه الحق من ربنا إنا كنا من قبله مسلمين. Allah says here in Surah Al-Qasas, those to whom we gave the book or the scripture before it, before the Quran, they believe in it, meaning they believe in the Quran. And when it is recited to them, they say, we believe in it, indeed it is the truth from our Lord. Indeed, even before it, we were Muslims. Who is this referring to? This is referring to the Christians. There were Christians who came from Abyssinia, Ethiopia. So when the companions, they went and they did hijrah, they emigrated to avoid persecution in different waves, they went to Abyssinia. And there, that was a Christian community. And they heard the Quran. They heard Surah Maryam. And they heard the Quran, and they realized that what that is calling to is the same as what is, you know, in the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, the Torah of Musa alayhi salam, which they were already believers in, and they were already submitting to that. So then what happened is that some of them came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, there was roughly maybe 40 odd or so, and they said, look, we have wealth, we'd like to go back and bring it back to you, and we'd like to offer it to the Muslims. So they came, and it is also mentioned by some of the companions, like Ibn Abbas, that there was 80 in number, 40 odd from Abyssinia, another 30 or so from Najran, because there used to be a large community of Ahlul Kitab in the southern Arabian region. And also there was eight or so from Sham, right, from the Christians of Sham. So they all came and they became believers. And so this is what these ayat are referring to. It's referring to those Christians. And here it says that even before that we were Muslims. And this means that these people were believers. They were, you know, they were the people who remained upon the sound religion to the best that they were able. And it also indicates that when you look at how the Yahud and the Nasara and the way that they spread into the nations, like some went eastwards and some went westwards, and you know, there were Christians who were truthful to the original message, and they migrated downwards, right, to Yemen, to Najran in the peninsula, and likewise to Abyssinia and places like that. And they may not necessarily be the same as all the other Christians that we commonly know of, right? The Western Church, the Roman Church, and the Eastern Orthodox, and the this or whatever. And so these people, they are the ones mentioned in this ayah. They clearly said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ إِنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مُسْلِمِينَ. That even before that, we were Muslims. So this is what the Shaykh says in answer to that question. In other words, where does the Quran stand in relation to previous books? Right? It is an affirmation of what is in previous books, and it is a muhaymin, it is a safeguard for all that is true, and it eliminates and exposes all that is false. So commenting upon this, Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he says here that Allah Azza wa Jal, he informed that this Quran, أن هذا القرآن محيمن ومسيطر على ما قبله من الكتب مصدق ما فيها من الحق وينفي ما فيها من الباطل وينسخ منها ما ينسخ ويبقي منها ما يبقي ولله في ذلك الحكمة البالغة والحجة الدامغة. So he says that Allah Azza wa Jalla informed, meaning in these ayat, that the Quran is a muhaymin, it is a trustworthy witness. Musaytir, it is an authority. It is dominant. It dominates previous books that came before it. Musaddiqun ma fiha min al-haq. And it is musaddiqun. It is an affirmation of whatever truth they contained. Wa yanfi ma fiha min al-batil. It negates whatever falsehood is in those books. وَيَنْسَخُ مَا مِنْهَا مَا يَنْسَخُ. And it abrogates whatever laws were in the previous scriptures. وَيُبْقِي مِنْهَا مَا يُبْقِي. And it allows to remain, it leaves and allows to remain what it leaves from those books. And in that Allah has a far-reaching wisdom. There is a far-reaching wisdom and a powerful, like a strong proof. And there is no one who can follow up his command, you know, can question and la yus'alu amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alun. He cannot be asked as to what he does, but they will be asked as to what they do. There's no one to contend with Allah and to follow him up in these affairs. And then he says, إذن منزلة الكتاب القرآن من الكتب المتقدمة بأنه أعظمها وأفضلها وأنه محيمن عليها وشاهد لها لما فيها من الحق ومبين ما ألحقه أهل الكتاب من عند أنفسهم وأنهم كانوا يكتبون الكتاب بأيديهم ويقولون هذا من عند الله. So in short, the status of the Quran, the status of this book, the Quran, its status is towards the previous scriptures, or in relation to the previous scriptures, is that it is the greatest book, and it is the most superior book, and that it is a witness over those books, and because of what it contains, you know, of whatever they contain of the truth, and it exposes whatever the people of the book, they added to it from themselves, used to write the book with their own hands, and they would say, this is from Allah. So in other words, this is our, the Quran is, this is where it stands in relation to all the previous scriptures. This is its status and relationship to the previous scriptures. And as for Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, he says, every book that Allah mentioned in his book, it is obligatory to believe in that, tafsilan, like specifically, and then believing in the books of Allah, and you know, this is from the greatest of the greatest of all those books is the Quran, to have iman in the Quran, because it is the greatest of all of those books, and it is the last book of Allah sent to the seal of the prophets, which he sent to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this iman that we are speaking of here, it comprises the following three affairs, right? So this is really the essence of what it means to believe in the books and to believe in the Quran specifically now. First of all, he says, أولاً الإيمان بأن القرآن كلام الله عز وجل أوحاه إلى عبده محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وليس بقول البشر. Right, so the first part of our belief in the Quran is that this Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he revealed it to his servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is not the speech of a man. Right? This is not the speech of a man. This is the speech of Allah azza wa jal. It is not the speech of a man. Secondly, that this Quran abrogates everything that came before it of the books. So all previous books are abrogated. This means that if any Yahudi comes and says that in my Torah it says this, or the Nasrani says, so your book is abrogated, it was abrogated by the Quran, don't quote me from your book. Right? You are obligated to believe in the Quran. So it abrogates all previous books. فَلِيسَ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ الْقُرْآنِ بَلِ الْوَاجِبْ أَنْ يُصَدِّقَ بِكُلِّ خَبَرٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يُصَدَّقْ بِكُلِّ خَبَرٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَيُعْتَقَدْ وَأَنْ يُؤْمَلْ بِكُلِّ أَمْرٍ وَنَحْيٍ جَاءَ فِيهِ. So he says that it is not for anyone to follow other than the Quran. What is obligatory is that every khabar, every report in the Quran is believed in, and every command or prohibition is acted upon. Right? So that's the second part of belief in the Quran. It abrogates everything that came before it, and everybody is obliged to believe in it and to act upon its command and prohibitions and to believe in its reports. And thirdly, يُعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مُحِيمِنًا عَلَى الْكُتُبِ. Thirdly, to know that this Quran, Allah has made this Quran to be a muhaymin, a witness, a trustworthy witness. And as he mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and this shows that the people are obligated, that they must not turn to anything other than the Quran, because the Quran is as has been described. It is a shahid, a witness. It is muhaymin, it is a trustworthy witness. It is musaddiqun laha, you know, affirms the truth that came before. So this is in essence the summary of the belief in the Quran. This brings us to question number 81. And question number 81, we'll read it and we'll leave the commentary for the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. The question is, ما الذي يجب التزامه في حق القرآن على جميع الأمة? So this question is, what is necessary for all of the Ummah to adhere to in relation to the Quran? Meaning now, what is the how are Muslims obliged to be with the Quran? What's the obligation? So the Sheikh says, هُوَ اتِّبَاعُهُ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا وَالتَّمَسُّقُ بِهِ وَالْقِيَامُ بِحَقِّهِ. Right? So the obligation of every Muslim towards the Quran is to follow it inwardly and outwardly, and to hold fast to it, and to fulfill its right, to establish its right. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Exalted said, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. This is a book which we have revealed, it is blessed. So follow it and fear, have taqwa, in order that you may be shown mercy. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah also said, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا. Follow that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow besides him awliya, like protectors, allies. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and he also said, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُسْلِحِينَ. And those who hold fast to the book and who establish the prayer, indeed we do not cause the reward of those who rectify to go to waste. So the Shaykh then says, وَهِيَ عَامَةٌ فِي كُلِّ كِتَابٍ وَالْآيَاتُ فِي ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا وَأَوْسَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ فَخُذُوا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهِ. Right, so this, what is mentioned in these ayat and what we mentioned, to follow the book inwardly and outwardly, to hold fast to it and to establish its right. Right, the three things. To follow it inwardly and outwardly, to hold fast to it, to make tamassuk to the book, and to fulfill the right of the, what's the right of the book to you? The right of the book to you is to read it, is to reflect upon it, to ponder upon it, to believe in its reports, to believe in its rulings, and then to act upon the rulings, and so on and so forth. So this is general for all books. For every book that came, this was the obligation of every people to whom a book was revealed. And there are many verses that indicate that. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, regarding the Qur'an, فَخُذُوا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهِ. So take by the book of Allah, take from the book of Allah, and hold fast to it. And in another hadith, which is authentic, or declared Hassan by Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ فِتَنْ. Indeed, there are going to be tribulations. قُلْتُ مَا الْمَخْرَجْ مِنْهَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So the companion said, what is the way to escape from that, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Kitabullah, Kitabullah, the book of Allah. And he mentioned the rest of the hadith. So this explains the, you know, how a Muslim behaves towards the book and how he's obligated to behave towards the book. Inshallah, we'll leave that there for today. We'll look at the commentary upon this, inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson. And so we'll end today's lesson there. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.